Perfect. We'll call us order.
Sure. Okay, we will call the meeting of October 4th, 2023 Economic Development Commission meeting to order. Call the roll. Member Brangle?
Present.
Member Chaplunkar?
Present.
Member Graham?
Present.
Member Lowe's?
Present.
Member Preston? Member Walfelt?
Present.
And Chairman Brown?
Present.
Okay. No public comment. Nobody's on Zoom.
All right.
And I didn't receive anything in advance. The next item is the approval of the minutes. Jessica just passed out amended. Received a few comments about that are highlighted there in red. So if we could get a motion to approve those minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Great. So development updates, spent a lot of time last meeting. And thanks for everyone meeting again so quickly after the last one. I think it's good to get on a regular cadence with everything going on. We're going to be asked. I mean, we have two active, essentially, sites and perhaps three sites that we're going to be looking into. Plus, I do not want to take focus off of retail too much. There's nothing. I mean, we'll get to that, but I want to see what's going on with the chamber as well.
Sure. Yep.
But first things first on the agenda, Madison Street development site. We had some good discussion on that last time. I think one of the things that we were looking to do, for those that missed it, or just, you know, for the notes, is kind of have some uniformity around some of the sites. And, you know, whatever that means in terms of fencing, advertising, things of that nature. So it's, you know, looking more professional. If we are going to garner any developers and whatnot, I think we need to do that, especially with the market being the way it is at this point. It's only been a few weeks, but any update? I haven't been by there. Have we done the fence yet?
Okay. Yes, it is. There's one stretch of fence remaining and a couple panels on the residential lot, but it looks really nice. Does not look like a development site that you'd usually see. But yes, the frontage on Madison Street in Ashland is all completed with the 4 feet picket fence, as well as most of the privacy fence on the north side of the two residential lots on the north side of the alley.
Was that sort of in line with the residents? I mean, I want to be conscious of their what they were looking for in terms of, I mean, you never know. I'm sure someone's not going to like it, right?
Sure. But... So, yes, we had a meeting with the residents before the village board considered approval of the fencing. We were originally thinking more of a split rail solution. It was more cost effective. But the residents didn't think that would be secure enough. So we pivoted to looking for the picket fence solution on those sides. The privacy fence, the solid fencing along the homes was always the plan, because that was the biggest concern. Mm-hmm. They're the most affected. But that conversation with the most nearby residents suggested a picket fence that ideally wanted wrought iron fence, but our concern is that we hope this is not a long-term solution and we don't want to pay a bunch of money and have to rip it up very soon. Picket fence was not cheap, but it was kind of a compromise, and I think the residents did appreciate it, and we think we've received compliments so far.
Good.
about the appearance.
Wasn't there some conversation about strictly on the north side of that property putting up some trees, some small trees or something? Some vegetation of some kind more than grass.
Yes, there has been some discussion about that. I think the with the height of the fence there, we kept up the trees that were on, or some of the trees that were on the residential lots that were demolished, to provide that buffering. So we figure in the event when the development comes, we can still remove those. So we did keep up what we could there, and we are looking to supplement it now that it's the fencing's nearly complete, supplementing it for additional buffering. Now, the concern is sound buffering with the Muggsies and the activity on Madison Street. Try to manage expectations that nothing's going to block the sound like the LCFS building and the homes did. But we're stepped up some police patrols in the area too, to make sure that, and added a camera, that location right there at Madison National that wasn't there previously, to monitor the situation more closely.
Nice.
So yes, I think, the residents are pleased. It was a long demolition process, but we're finally through that piece of it and, in a good spot at the moment.
Do we have that property listed with anyone?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
So I'm in the process of finalizing the listing with LoopNet. The ad is currently up. If you looked for it, you would find it by looking for the old addresses. So 7614 through 7620. If you type in Madison Street, it comes up as well. Right now we have the LCFS site as well as the two residential parcels all coming up as one ad. That's how we would prefer to sell it. So that's how I've told them to list it. So even if you were looking up 10 Lathrop, you're going to pull up the whole big, all 37,000.
It's marketed, but it's not listed with a broker.
Yeah. I mean, so.
Right. We have not listed it with a broker. No.
So that's actually where we need to start. There's an interesting situation here because we're waiting for the zoning to change. We think that'll be around December, January. When the zoning changes, we can really go out and put out some offering memo that says, here's what can be done at this location. Before that time, we really wouldn't be able, we could say, we would be in the same situation that we've been in for the last, 50 years, where we're saying, hey, trust us, we can do these, changes. I thought last week, though, we did have a good idea. I'm struggling. I was looking at the notes here. Didn't we decide we were going to have everything sort of ready to go?
Yeah, we said we'd advance, an RFP for a developer. At least get it set. Mm-hmm. Basic,
Yeah.
Have it ready so that when the zoning goes forward, we can, on the heels of it.
Exactly.
Be ready to go out. So.
So should this be the time that we're... I'll defer to you and others, but would this be the time that we sort of start talking about talking with a broker and having someone out there actively listing it that works with other developers? I don't mean to put you on the spot. It's an opinion. Yeah, right.
Because the downside to the village right is the commission.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the upside is somebody's active. Now the zoning, issues, I think a legitimate concern, but at the same time, knowing the history of, projects,
they've gotten through,
right now,
just the step,
some of the only cost. Projects that I'm seeing because of horrible interest rates. Only projects that are active and the developers looking at a residential project, which is most likely that's residential project. So, I don't think there's benefit to wait.
I agree. And one of the things we haven't done, I didn't see us do it too much in the past while I was here, is really work with developers on some of the, or work with brokers on some of these. It was sort of, you've had more.
No, it's been consultants.
Yeah.
Not brokers.
Yeah.
Which is what I am. But you're smarter though, right? Because you get a fee out of it.
Yeah.
Or you get a percentage. No, in the past it's usually been through, some kind of development consultant or something like that, where they've done the RFPs. It hasn't been actively brokered, I would say is. So
I would really suggest, it would be my thought that we have someone, like you said, actively working on this.
Village can interview brokers. I think the nice thing is that you've got a broker who has good conversations with the village and sort of has a good understanding. They're going to go out and be aggressive and be telling a story and saying, here's what's likely to be approved and here's what's not. If you just see it at LoopNet.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a million municipalities that have a ton of properties out there, often because their developers aren't interested or aren't engaged, and they sit there. I get tons of requests, to consider properties like that that they kind of dismiss.
Too many. Yeah.
But when a broker calls me, they usually know, well, I know what you're looking for and I know what you're doing and activating. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think this is a good thing for you to look at.
So, does anyone have
does it pay thinking about the change in zoning to that the village, not this committee, contact the two remaining property owners and just say hello and see what interest you might have in the future? I'm not going to go any more discussions on it, you know, public session, but is it inappropriate to just touch base with the two remaining properties to the east?
What has been their most recent?
Most related to the demolition, more so than anything about acquisition, just being a contact since they were affected by the impact as well.
In terms of going out to a broker, if you can get a sense of what's potentially happening, I'm not saying an offers and you know, just
I would
which way the wind is blowing.
Broker, it's maybe. A very good question. And I think if the village hires a broker, the broker's going to do it anyway.
Yeah,
right.
Okay. Well, I'm just prior to, I made my comment. I'll just leave it at that.
But good idea.
I think it's a good idea to talk with them. I think maybe the idea might be, well, it doesn't matter, but you know, we could just say to the broker, hey, look, these might be in play. We've had discussions with them.
Yeah. Sure. Then a broker is going to jump on them.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah, are you in contact with them? I mean, I don't want a half-hearted question to affect our ability to have a broker come at it with more direction and like a real offer and stuff like that. But are you in regular contact with those owners?
I would not say regular, but like I said, it's been mostly about traditional just neighboring of the demolition, the construction project type things, and concern for the neighbors. So no, not in the sense that,
you know,
that
like,
we're discussing, not that. Conversations haven't happened in some time before I was involved. So
I don't know.
Maybe a good time to consider that.
Yeah. Since we've never had a broker here, I don't know what the process would be. I mean, we have a pretty rigorous but we have to go through an interview process. And
well, this, so maybe this is a question for me because we're just this commission, you know, we don't actually take much action on anything.
No, right.
But I think on this, if we agreed, would we be making a recommendation to the trustees that they would then make that decision? Right?
They would be doing that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So maybe I'll just, since I brought it up, I'll just move to, you know, suggest that we recommend
Can I add before you go? Wouldn't we bundle it?
Amend it as you will.
Bundle.
Yes.
It'd be the portfolio of River Forest property. If you're going to go for it, you know.
I completely agree. That was going to be my. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I wasn't like being very formal about a motion, but I'll take that. And
what do you mean by bundle?
Meaning, well, let's market both. I mean, the River Forest properties on Madison as well as right here on Park. Since they're both available, you're going to get the benefit. Brokers pitching one, they could pitch the other. In theory, right? Again, it's a question of fees and whatnot if the village wants to do that. But they didn't do anything right now.
Yeah. I agree.
You know,
and that's been,
it's lost cause.
And
cost.
We've been had a sign on that, and we had any.
Every once in a while, there's an inquiry about it, but due to the, you know, the challenge with the village parcels being separate and kind of bisected.
So if I could make a motion, then I would move that we have the recommendation to the village that trustees that they suggest or consider hiring a broker for both properties.
Seconded.
All in favor? I was waiting.
Aye.
I don't want to amend. I would strongly suggest that because I don't know how any of these are going to get done without a broker with this committee, with the board of trustees. I mean, it's all volunteer positions. Consultants are great, but You're wonderful.
I don't do
but,
that.
But you're not getting paid from the back end of it. That's true. I mean, you know what I mean? To a degree. I mean, the broker's
going
to be.
Front.
Yeah. I mean, the broker's going to be more. Yeah.
You're actually
kind of
that.
The smart ones in the competition. Yeah. but the broker's going to be really more aggressive. And if they know that there's the village, I mean, there might be other opportunities here. You know, we could set up a meet. Yeah. So, and then I think they should get them together with John Housel as well and some trustees, anyone from this committee. I think that really makes sense. Cause.
So what was the process they used when the property across the church was sold?
There was an RFP. I don't believe there may have been a broker involved, but there was originally an RFP back in 2010, when the TIF still existed on Lake Street. There was only one response. That was the Keystone Ventures at the time. And a continual set of agreements to get it to where it is today. I'm not sure that a broker was involved in that process. I don't believe there was.
Thank you. Which is can be customary, you know. I mean, we wouldn't always need a broker. I do think it makes sense, though, that we in the future look to have one. Do you have just off? I mean, I have who would we be looking at for? I mean, I have brokers I work with, but mostly on the commercial side. I don't know about this like mid-cap sort of residential world.
And it's not my I'm retail, but I could ask for recommendations from our folks.
Yeah,
on the resi side.
I'll do the same.
So, due to the potential fee involved, we would have to issue an RFP.
Yeah.
Broker services. Yeah. So then you guys can certainly shoot it out once it's published to your contacts and everything, but certainly to maintain the appropriate distance.
Oh, yeah.
We would issue an RFP and then probably come back to this commission and weigh them together and, you know, figure out which one would be recommended to the village board.
Okay. So good. I think that's going to help. And when you talk with them, I would say that we strongly recommend it.
Sure.
The other advantage of that, Jessica, is the conversation last time was on the signage. And oh, it's not the best. No offense to anybody here. Mm-hmm. It's just not really selling any, you know, a broker will want to put a new sign out there. You have the ability to redo them and really make them more graphic.
Yep.
Graphically appealing. Hopefully.
Well, and also, yeah.
But we can cross that a little later.
Yeah, we got to be careful with graphics, you know, before we have anything approved.
No, it's psycho. I mean, there's plenty of examples.
No,
we're not going to show like, no.
Cul-de-sacs everywhere.
No, you could show.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a lot you could do.
Yeah.
But a broker is going to want to put his name on there. You got a QR code. We
For
were
sure.
talking about this last in our last discussion about sprucing up our advertising a little bit.
Yeah.
And so I think that's an opportunity to revisit both the sites.
And you know,
get the River Forest logo on it, get all these things on there. Like, this is, you know, this is a prime opportunity.
And I think it'd be good to get the RFP out there and interview several people because, you know, we'll see how it works, but there's other opportunities down the road in River Forest. So I think this is a great idea. We talked about it before we were getting there, and I don't know why we got derailed.
We did receive a few proposals earlier in the year, but we didn't, with the demolition and some of the other things that were going on, kind of slipped through the cracks.
Yeah, so. It happens, but I think now is a good time to...
And then actually drafting the RFP, is that something you would do, Jessica? And then are you using AI by chance? Are we allowed to use AI? Like, I just put it in ChatGPT and it writes it for you really fast and then customize, and it can take like an hour instead of however long
months.
It would take.
That's awesome.
I'm going to keep doing it and I'm going to send it to you and we'll see.
I'd love it. Send me drafts.
We said last time too, I think, again, this is a pitch. You know, this isn't a standard municipal RFP, which usually are really bad. And no offense. Again, this is what I do. I rewrite these to be, this is a sales pitch up front. So That's the only caveat to AI. I don't know what they're, what is it writing for you? But
so good.
Well, no, but I think it has to really pitch. And we did do some of that in the prior RFP, started to. So I would suggest that. And that was why.
You mind taking a look at it?
Yeah.
Before it goes out?
You guys were going to do a draft, you know, when at the right time we can look at it. And
speaking of drafts, I have a draft of the scope of the RFP for developers. So based on the conversation we had last time.
Who were you talking about? Sorry. Yeah.
Either.
Yeah, the developer RFP or the broker? Yeah.
Well, so this is for developer services. So this was cut, not including the broker. This was just, we want developers to approach us with their intentions. So I took a stab at that.
Financials.
Correct. And I actually have a draft for us to kind of gloss over, not the boilerplate and all of the legal parts that were required that the lawyers go over, but this was specific to the site and what.
So is this, Jessica, is this for, I mean, I'm in the business and it's a little confusing to me. A fee developer that would come in and purchase the property, but he's pitching his development to purchase, or fee development for, fee development for a village owned property.
So the intention was for, and what the scope is talking about is, I want the developers to come to the village and pitch what they intend to do with the property. The first line being they're buying the property from us. Mm-hmm. And then, but it, obviously we have all sorts of zoning and things to consider. So we would need them to explain what they intend to do with it.
Yeah. I think that's kind of be step two following an RFP just for a broker to listen. But I agree.
No, it does call into question if you're getting a broker. Well,
do you need
either one? Right. Developer. You need an RFP.
Yeah.
However, I think it's good. They're an at-risk developer. There's no fee development. I don't think Village isn't going to hire a developer to do it. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Although there may be.
No, I don't have any interest. No.
I was going to say, you're trying to recoup some costs.
We don't want to be a landlord either.
So it'll be an at-risk developer. And the question is whether the broker brings that in. They're still going to
do the broker.
Or is it an RFP?
That process for zoning and everything else to get it approved. So I just thought, more important is if you get the listed and start to see some activity.
I agree. And I don't really know why that slipped our kind of thought process in the last meeting when we were talking about that, because it does seem.
Well, we traditionally done developer RFPs.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. No, but that you're right. That's
so. That's the broker talking. This is the consultant.
I know, right.
Anyway.
Well, I mean,
hey, no, that's great.
I actually, the reason for doing it is you can drive development that you want. Mm-hmm. And again, this is, not sure about this market and all that. So I think, it's a little different when you're in a down market.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, it's a good point. I mean, we're going to need to heavily. Someone's going to need to heavily market this. I don't know if we're going to just get with an RFP a developer that's going to come in here, considering everything else. We're not going to be fighting them away with a stick. You know, I mean, right. We're going to.
We have to try something different, and we didn't do this before.
Yeah, agreed. No. So if we're doing that, I mean, it's a duplication of work if we're going out for a broker and we're doing that.
Mm-hmm. I was, the way that I was picturing it was one or the other. We're doing an RFP for a broker and then they handle all of it. Or we do an RFP for development services. We thought that it would, given the fact that we have had some interest and we've gotten phone calls on the property and it's just a pile of mud and now we have a fence around it and it's looking bad. I mean, we've gotten a couple phone calls on it.
So
our thought was, if there's already this interest and we weren't even properly marketing it yet, why don't we just go for development services and cut out the broker
fees? My thought is, and I'll give an example, because my team picked up a listing in Lombard recently,
mm-hmm.
And very challenging site with a really nice development that was supposed to develop call. And so, we started marketing it to groups that we thought had a realistic shot of everything from getting their proposed development approved. In this situation, there was some TIF money, so it had to be very, kind of specific to get any of that. And instantly, you get a handful of proposed developments. They're never going to happen. We know it. And so as a broker, I can manage all that and not have to bring it to the owner of the parcel. I mean, we bring everything simply because we're proposing, but I can vet all that first, which is what we did. And we wound up bringing much more realistic offers and kind of making sure that even before the offer was proposed, we could steer them and say, you're going to have to talk to the Village of Lombard first. And you know, we helped arrange all that. So it's just simply it's leveraging the brokers to do that. Mm-hmm. But I will also say those would not have come in, those offers, if the brokers hadn't mm-hmm. thought creatively, reached out, because this owner had been listing this for a year and a half, nothing.
Yeah.
And within weeks, you know, that's a decent offer.
I think it's important not to be penny wise here, right? I mean, if we're talking about, we want to get rid of this property. We want a good development there as quickly as possible because it's not earning us any tax dollars now. It's money that's not in the bank where we could be earning 6% or whatever we're getting these days. So instead it's costing us. So, I think the sooner we get that money recouped and get it sold, I think the better. I think we already made the amendment, but
we made a recommendation. And let's face it, the trustees could always decide to go another way, and they can decide, no, we're going to do it with the developer.
Yep.
Makes more sense.
Considering this market and everything else, and the fact that it hasn't really worked great, I mean, I don't know how Aiken Lathrop started, but I doubt it was a broker that talked to every developer in the city, considering that the two developers are local. You know what I mean? Yeah. So,
good point, right? They did not have to go very far. Yeah.
just a thought. So let's try to do things
question a little on bit the broker route. I know that brokers are going to be a lot more in tune with the market. And have a specific idea for what they think would work at the property. If that doesn't necessarily align with the what the village expects from it, I guess, have you been, in your experience, been steered kind of against your better wisdom from your client to seek out something like we just talked about, residential only, for example?
I think it will fit.
I think that it's a good question. They're going to
That's
do
a really good question.
Broker that we decide to hire is going to sit down with the village and or the trustees and even this commission and say, okay, let's before they go out and spend a lot of energy and effort, they're going to want to know what will the village actually approve, have a good understanding of, you know, our variance, our zoning process, and everything, so that they're going out. And are you going to bring something sometimes that you have to, right? Mm-hmm. 100% offer. So somebody brings something in that's off the wall, you might have tried to steer it or help correct it so that you're bringing something, but occasionally that both breaks up.
And that's a great question, because the only caveat I have is that a broker's driven by a sale or a transaction.
Right.
It's not necessarily a vision or the goals. The comp plan is supposed to do some of that. The zoning is supposed to regulate some of that. But in the end, it's like, if it's as of right, they could sell it and, you know, that's where I think there is that dialogue to say, this is the village wishes here, even though it's not quite representing the zoning yet. And it's, you know, comp plan only takes it so far.
Sure. I think that'll be how we hire the broker, someone that's willing to listen and,
agreed.
Yeah. I mean, wait, to give you the example, the village already said, we will not support more senior housing and they wouldn't support industrial. And so we knew that, and we did get offers, and we were approached for both of those uses and effectively steered them away or brought one industrial, which we had warned them they weren't going to get approved if they weren't checked. So, but good examples.
Sure. Right.
Okay.
Excellent.
Well, that just cut the meeting down a little bit. So we don't have I'll have that next month.
I'm hoping this one is going to.
Yeah.
Actually, the RFP could be useful depending on what you've started with in terms of setting the expectations of the development. Mm-hmm. That's all for a broker to say, this is what the village points.
Oh, yeah. I'm not throwing it away. Just tonight, I'm going to recycle that.
Thank you. Sorry for the extra work.
No, it's good. It's good to think about, good anyways. Discussion. This is a
big. Katie's got one.
Oh, yeah.
Looks to start at least.
I don't know if you she's a pretty good at getting.
I mean,
with the financing.
Lean on her.
Get through the zoning.
What do you think?
Do you have my email?
Why don't you tell it to me, because it's not popping up?
Jay Spencer.
Thank you.
It's right here.
At VRF.
Yeah. .us. Thank you.
There you are. Okay. Get ready. Be impressed.
So looks like that's the any other questions on Madison? Nope. Okay, good. I think we got a good idea there. Other development discussion. That's a nice big.
Yeah, I made it broad because since our last meeting, I don't really have that much of an updates on those other sites. Lake and Lathrop remains receiver has been appointed to manage the site. We discussed a little bit last time. They are making efforts to clean up the site and remove some of the equipment you may have noticed, which is great in our eyes. If they're not going to be constructing anything, we want it to look as appealing as a constructed site can. And we are kind of funneling any requests. We're talking to interested parties that want to get involved in the project and working with Ascend Real Estate Group on that project. The foreclosure litigation is ongoing. Expect that to take some time. No real idea. There hasn't been any changes recently on that front. And then we talked about the North Avenue streetscape. Not been able to, there has not been a meeting since to discuss some of those things or bring those deliverables to you. So that is still on the radar. And I know we want to engage this commission on those items, and we will keep that those more detailed on agendas going forward.
Let's do the North Avenue streetscape as a bullet point maybe for future meetings, because I want to make sure that doesn't slip through the cracks and something happened there, because that could be a great opportunity to partner with a neighbor, take advantage of some of the things they've done. And if people are spending the money already, we should push for what we can. The Lake and Lathrop, I don't want to go too far in there, but who has control of the property when it's in receivership, meaning who's going to be in charge of fencing, keeping it clean, things of that nature?
So the receiver, Ascend Real Estate Group, has been kind of taking control of that item. So the fencing is next on their list to improve. They have made some marginal improvements, like actually locking it, which was good.
I can't believe no one's in there for vagrants. I mean, that goes to the youth of today. I mean, my goodness, they're good kids.
I mean, they might be listening now, and now they know.
Oh, yeah. Well, now it's
those civically engaged. Those civically,
talked about it last
civically engaged punks out there. Yeah,
we did.
Vagrants that listen to the economics of
those. Because we go skateboarding.
Yeah, we're going to do a little skate ramp.
Right. That was our concern. Cedric was fined for their insecure fence. But no, we've been fortunate. The receiver is equally as cynical as us and is going to put up a camera on the site to make sure that anything, the longer it is and the less activity, more concerning it is, or more appealing it is for vandalism.
Yep.
So they will be getting a new fence that will be kind of post-driven, so it'll be better when the storms come and hopefully harder to get into.
And then is there plans? I mean, the thought also was being able to, I don't know, beautify it in some way. I mean, how keen has the receivership been for some of that?
We haven't really discussed the beautifying aspects yet, so much as trying to get the clean up first and get it to a standard. They've been very receptive and responsive to us thus far, which has been welcome.
Cool. Yeah.
And
communications.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. The two concrete silos there, still a construction site. They could have remained there, but it was a village request. They're gone. They were taken off yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Right on the corner. So those were ugly and above the fence line and no need to be there. And the receiver worked with that subcontractor to remove them. So that they're working it very actively.
And what do we know about the parking garage, quote unquote, structure? Is that going to remain up there? Do they think? Yeah.
Correct.
I'm curious, because I think this is the most important thing about what's going to happen to that finally, is how hard Cedric's going to fight. Do we know it? Have you heard of anything?
They do seem to want to fight it. Yeah.
They want to what?
They want to fight
to it. To fight it.
Which will
make it go long.
It would be, in my opinion, a very, we see a lot of activity on that site now because there's been some improvements. you know, based on the situation, developers will come in, but they're not going to come in if they recognize, okay, this is going to be a long, drawn out foreclosure fight. I mean, the last, but that's what we're up against.
Right. And that may change. There may be conversations that we aren't privy to that will, but at least the evidence that we do have and is out there in the public is that the motion to appoint a receiver was fought, and that delayed a few months. So, that's the evidence we have at this point.
And whose duty is it to maintain that site? The receiver?
The receiver.
It's kind of laid out what they're supposed to do, or it's asked them and they do something.
Well, some of those items were kind of more code enforcement, like the fence being open and insecure. There was some disruption of the sidewalks around it that were threatening. They violated village code, and those are addressed immediately. We took upon the sidewalks ourselves, and we'll be reimbursed by the receiver for that. But the other items within the site, it's been more of a request basis. The receiver wants it to be appealing and clean and safe, and they want to be a good partner with the village, because they know that eventually the next steps of whoever will be interested in the property or to take it off the bank will need the village on board to, we still secure the right on zoning entitlement. And I think they just, they know that this is a high profile property and they want to be good stewards of it. Do they have any requirements to do any of those items? Not necessarily, internal to the site, which is why nothing will happen in terms of the construction progress that has been made until there's more clarity on the ownership. That's nothing that can be acted on now.
So now, there were certain variances granted, right, to the developer. Do those stay with the property, or the next developer has to come and reapply for the variances? Is the variances tied to a person or the property?
It's tied to the property.
Okay.
I think it will be difficult for the next owner or developer to be within what the proposal was, just based on their own design preferences and what that may be. I think that'll be a legal discussion. It's hard to speculate on what will come forward.
I didn't understand. You're saying that the new developer may not want to build it, may want more variances?
They might not want to build exactly
different plan.
Yeah. Right.
Different design.
But I think
less Floridian, you know.
For the most part, I think based on the new zoning that is now going to include lake, most of that wouldn't be variance.
That's true. Some of those items might be, if not variances, it would be at least closer to to the standard. That's a
is
fair
that
point.
Part of the zone?
Well, what so what could. they know it again? I don't want to say a miss on ours, but when we were doing Madison, when we were talking with Hassel about doing Madison and North, we didn't include Lake.
Yeah, right.
So it makes sense to have Lake part of that zoning change. Now I don't know if that's going to be the zoning that we have for Madison or North. I'm assuming it would be Madison, a similar structure to what we have requested on Madison.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Right. So.
Yeah, the standards between those two districts were pretty similar to begin with. Like our North Avenue TIF district is primarily all C1 commercial district. Madison Street's all C2 commercial district. And there's a couple C3 kind of pockets in town, including Lake and Park. And Lake and Lathrop, I don't know that off the top of my head, but I believe is probably a C3 district as well. But the differences between those two are pretty similar. So I think the changes, it would make sense to keep them fairly in line with what the direction was from the EDC.
But I don't see it being resolved for a couple of years. I don't know how it does.
Is that a reality that needs to be communicated to the village, or that's clear that it's
the village
years
populous?
Like, yeah,
but it wouldn't be really our.
It's
our
not our place to say yet
to do so.
Just thinking about setting expectations. And I don't know.
It's a
no, that's a great point. And yeah. I think there has been at least some of that, but it's so speculative at this point. At least our approach and strategy has been to try and focus on the positives of these maintenance cleanups and try and make it as passable for the neighbors that have been most affected by it. And also kind of pinning it on this receiver's now involved. It's not village property. I think a lot of residents and folks had thought that if the building permit was revoked or taken or not extended, that it's going to be the village property and we're going to be able to make it a park or convey it to someone else, but it's much more complicated. So we've tried to explain it. It is difficult to explain concisely with the receivership and the foreclosure litigation. But yes, we'll get to that point that it won't be.
The village a party to the litigation or
no?
No. You know, I think as a resident, the communication's been really good. You know, I think anybody that's been living here and seen how long this is taking, and you read public comments, and you know, they know what's happening. It's falling apart. It's you know, potentially going into foreclosure. But the good news that's been, I think, shared, communicated by the village is, all right, cleaning it up. And I, again, as a resident, you don't look at the investment being made in fencing and everything to think that it's going to be torn down the next day and development's going to be started. I think that's.
I hope that, but also I think we give people more credit than just being like when you say years. I don't know that the general person who doesn't understand.
Well, I'm a pesticist.
Yeah,
I mean, I just think
I hope it won't be years.
Well,
me both. Yeah.
I guess all I'm just on the website. So the last update was September 15th, and I think maybe you can't make forward-looking statements, but like. As much as you, the more transparency, the better, I think, to just head things off at the pass.
We are working to update that website.
Yeah, because I think that webpage was based in a more project where, you know, this totally. Is a construction phase, XYZ, and that's what we've been using it at. But it gets into a lot of minutia that really isn't relevant anymore. The project is stopped. No one cares about when the foundation was poured. Before it back last year. So removing a lot of that and giving the big picture items, including the progress that we've made and with the receiver's help and laying out the next steps, at least broadly
like the next time you'll hear from us will be this date. And even if that date is months and months in the future, at least it's like just the very clear what you can expect. Here's what's happening. To try to cut off.
Active litigation there in Cook County.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So I'm sure the judge has entered some kind of scheduling order. Right?
I don't know if they have, I don't think they have a judge on it yet. I mean, I'm assuming it's just right now with usually these things sit with the bank committee for a while. I don't know how strongly they've been. These processes take a while. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just do. I don't think a judge would be appointed yet, or they might not. They might still be working with it between Beverly and Sedgwick, you know, arguing back and forth. I mean, a lot of times these do get resolved.
The more likely thing that would happen is it would get restructured. Sedgwick would bring it up,
equity
partner, and try to salvage it. That, you know. Problem here is that they've just burned every bridge.
The village
has denied. So I don't know that, and I just don't think that's gonna that restructuring is likely anymore.
But they might restructure their loan or do something.
I think it's they would have been trying to do that if they were worth anything as a developer. They would have been trying to restructure this thing for the last year. And because they were so behind. So my gut is that the fact that it's got to this point, they're not going to restart it. But they could bring an equity partner that basically takes them out at some point in a way that they come back to us and say, we're not even a controlling partner in this anymore. This is the new developer that's going to try to build what we have proposed. And if they have that bank's backing, that's an option.
Well, that's where the village can communicate with the receiver to get a feel for what it would take to take the bank out, which incorporates all the liens, taxes. You know, the bank said it wanted 4.2, but that's the starting point. Will 50 cents on the dollar for a stalking horse developer coming in? And they're out there. But I think it's way, way too early, because I doubt that the bank really knows its financial position to recover anything at this point.
Agreed.
Right? I mean, we're probably 6 months before somebody there scratches their head and says,
well, this is actually, I'm sorry, Bob.
No, well, I mean, I just think the bank doesn't really know its true financial position in recovering whatever.
99% of the time, I'd agree with that. I just happened to be at a Cubs game with a head credit person at Beverly Bank. And she was like, yeah, so what's going on? So anyways, she's like, yeah, it's on every meetings. We all know about it. So this one actually, I think it's for whatever reason, because it's not that big of a number for them. But I think that, you know, the way they do it, they spread it around to different banks. It will take a while. But I would say within a couple months, they'll probably have that number. Usually it would take us 6-7 months. I think they'll be, if they don't already have it, they'll be on it pretty quick. For some reason, it's got a lot of ears and eyes within Wintrust. She's not at Beverly. There's other people that are local there at Beverly. She's at Wintrust, which is all this.
Well, it's
even more.
Yeah.
Odd. Yep. Mm-hmm. You know that. So,
but sometimes if there accidentally happens to be a stalking horse that maybe exists, that sometimes a bank, if they can get out
70 cents on the dollar, absolutely,
and lick their wounds and go to the next deal, you know?
Yeah, because they're on non-accrual right now. So,
right.
I mean, they would, it might be interesting. Do we have, so I'd ask the receivership to see what the bank would say. They're going to tell you the full dollar amount. But
yeah, I think
conversationally, they might say something else.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they say we're out X. That's a starting point.
All right. Any other comments on Lake and Lathrop? I mean, I think it's going to be, we can do what we can. It's going to be a haul. I don't know if we can talk too much about it in public session, because it does involve the purchase of land. So, Matt, if I eke on to anything that I shouldn't be, just steer me in the right direction. But we might have an opportunity to consolidate some of the property here. I'm looking at you Park and Lake. So that could be another one. There's been a property that we've been kind of integral to that space, and I'm talking with the guy who's handling it at the moment, and we're going to set up some meetings with the village. That would also be one that we should bring in the broker, I would think, when we're talking about that as an opportunity to consolidate some of that property. And so that's good news. Yeah, I mean, it's at play for the first time. The numbers are pretty far apart, but you know, I think this would be, ideally, it would be great to bookend Lathrop and Park with two nice developments, you know, whatever it would be. So that's
agreed.
Something.
Agreed. And I think when we do have that opportunity site on our website and we've got the signs out there, and occasionally when there's a call and I explain, oh, well, we've just got the parking lot. We've also got the grass lot over there, but not in between. I'd be like, oh, okay. Can you send me the survey? And, you know, it's as complicated as things. So I think that's probably why it's been RFPs and 13 plus years of sitting there. Because of that challenge.
It's just been a tough, there's no way you can really, we've looked at it. There's no way you can properly, I guess we had one idea that works sort of okay, but it's tough to market that without all the pieces. So that's good. Anything else? So that's Lake and Park. So the moving on to number five, we've not been focusing enough on it with our retail partners. We've had other issues. We haven't been meeting as much. We've had, you know, Liz is no longer with the chamber. We are going to get another chamber person, right?
Yes. Yes, Darian Marion Burton is the new director. He was not able to make it tonight, but we'll plan to keep inviting him. He and I met over the summer when he was after he was appointed. He's interested in and engaging with the commission in a similar fashion, or in just engaging the commission.
Like he seems like a good guy. We met as well. You know, we do need someone from the chamber here. You know what I mean?
Because
I don't know.
I think it's a big help.
How well we can speak to the needs of the none of I don't mean to speak out of turn, but I don't really have my pulse on the business community here individually as much as we should. And I think the chamber is really our best vehicle there. And I think part of our commission is to make sure we're doing everything we can for that group. It's not a big group, but it's important. So, all right, more to come there. I'm going to get you out of here. Don't worry. Well, I think, I mean, we just met. So we had some really deep discussion last week. And I think, you know, a lot of this is going to depend on the zoning. But I really like what we're doing in the meantime to try to get some of this in place. And I do like the idea of just talking with the receiver on Lake and Lathrop on, you know, if there's a dollar amount, it would be great if we can get some Angel in there. Any other businesses? Awesome.
I did hear the Bed Bath is now potentially going to be an Aldi. Have you heard that?
No, I had heard it was going to be something else. I forget what it was, but
Chick-fil-A offer, which
that is what I heard. Yeah.
Sideline for a better LOI.
You know what's a dollar amount?
They have good parking lot.
Yeah,
they do have like a good
need a lot of stacking it though.
Right.
Yeah, right.
I think it's just it's good for us to know sort of what's going on retail with the neighbors. I mean, our you know the Lake and Harlem shopping center, which is probably our biggest tax generator. It's amazing to me that there's not more activity, and that the you know, it's Mid-America that markets that, and you know, the Whole Foods expansion fell apart, and it's just sort of sitting with very little activity. But, Dom's Grocery, if you're not familiar with Dom's, love to get a site here. You know,
they were going to take the corner,
right?
They were taking the corner on Harlem and Lake,
which
yeah, right.
To their, I think, good judgment, they just thought parking there would be an issue. I was actually asked, hey, is the, you know, what's happening with the Fresh Thyme? Because they did announce some closures, but I did not hear that was on a list. So Don's just still, they looked at the Bed Bath & Beyond, which is, they lost out.
Regularly. They put a bid in there, though?
They thought about it, and they kind of went back and forth, and then all of a sudden, you know, there were two other offers ahead of them. So those Bed Baths all went pretty quick. So, you know, there remains a lot of interest in the area because of the great demographics and the income. But that, to me, that just, they could be doing a better job marketing and managing that asset.
Yeah, and Whole Foods was pretty pissed. With one of my friends is that runs their development for the area. She was not. They had a lot of plans. They know it sucks. They want to make it bigger.
They're suffering a bit from the management now of Guy Amazon.
Yeah.
I can tell you. Whole Foods, because we represent multiple cities, just changed, you know. So they've lost sort of the ability to be as aggressive as they once were in creative.
Sure.
So that kind of hurts us.
Well, there is. It could be some movement on that property, but
I've heard you think about it.
So
I just thought I'd share that little nugget.
No.
Do we have a role there, or in nudging, or that's just set and done?
With Heitman, with the owners?
With anything related to that.
The village had multiple conversations with that.
Yeah, we did have a few conversations about ways the village might be able to help, and there's seemed to be a big gap there. Some of their other vacancies have been looking for zoning impact, you know, input on us, so there's some potential interest in that NCAP there. And we have had conversations about the corner spots as well. So we have had conversations.
What else is vacant there outside of the Starbucks?
Keep your eye on the Boston market.
Oh, yeah.
They are spiraling. They're circling the drain.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, outlots like that are usually pretty easy to fill, though, right?
Pretty attractive.
Yeah.
That is a very, very attractive outlot. Best corner in the whole village. And I think there would be a lot of interest in it.
Yeah.
What, another restaurant?
I mean, a lot of, just could be anything. You know,
it's a bank right there.
Otherwise, it's a bank. Right.
Yeah.
I'm sure Whole Foods has some exclusions in their lease about some uses, but either way, it would be Whole Foods or the Boston market is in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Likely a bankruptcy.
And they are nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
You're the two people I've seen in there in the last 6 months or not?
Yeah. Shocked to me that it's still open.
But that should be open. It is surprising that they haven't been more aggressive on marketing that area. I mean, because it is.
I get my team's been all trying to.
Yeah. So the Boston market, which I think we could fill pretty quick, and then the Starbucks. Yeah. Hopefully there's some, but that's it. Isn't the rest of it? I mean, it wasn't.
Well, the expansion space, the rallies.
Right. Yeah. But that's not. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
I think there's a vacancy along DSW.
Yeah.
Along that, between there and the.
Nine spaces.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's at least Phase one.
Two, right.
Yeah. All right. Any other business? We want to call to adjourn?
Second.
Whoa.
Well, oh, wait. Who was it?
Kyle's giving us back
3 minutes.
Graham?
Two. Graham is the second.
Do you know Christine Sturge?
Okay.